Well, hi, everybody. How is everybody doing tonight? Good? This is going to be an interactive talk, so if you're not used to interacting, then you probably are not going to like tonight, okay? So just get ready for what God's going to say to you and be ready to respond to him. Like Louis said, this is definitely not my favorite thing in life. I don't know what all my favorite things are, but this would not be among them. I could name some other things that you would probably relate to more, too, but really, I'm here tonight because God said do it, and so I'm just responding to him. And we're going to talk a lot tonight about faith, and I think it's interesting because the only reason I'm up here tonight is because I have faith that God is at work and that he is going to do something in all of our lives because of what happens in this space tonight. So I'd love for us to pray to that end. Would you guys stand with me? I know you've been standing and sitting a lot, but let's just stand and tell God as a way of honoring him that we are available to him tonight and that we want him to speak to our lives. Pray with me. Lord, we just say that we're available to you tonight. Whatever you want to do inside of us, we're asking you to do that. And all of us come from different spots in life. All of us have had different kind of days today. All of us have different kinds of challenges and needs in our life. And only you, Holy Spirit, really know what those are. And so I pray tonight that you would take the words that come out of my mouth, and Lord knows what they will be, but that you will take those and you will shape them, and they will be used in our lives to make a difference in how you want to build the kingdom in us. Not just the kingdom at large, not just the church, the big church, but us. What you want to do in us that's going to lead us to follow you more closely. And that's what we're hoping for tonight and asking you for and believing you in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat. Thanks. Thanks to you people on the floor especially. Well, I did say no originally when I was asked to come tonight. It's been an interesting process. Several weeks ago, Louis and a couple of our team planned to be away this week, and so we started thinking about who it was going to be that was going to be sharing tonight. And early on, Louis said in passing in the very Louis-esque way, well, I think it would be cool if you shared. And because I've spent 25 years of my life saying no to him, it was really easy for me to say no. I'm not going to do that. So you can come up with somebody else, I'm sure. So we kind of left it at that and moved on. And I felt pretty at peace about that, you know, like, yeah, no, that's the answer to that. And then there was this moment a few weeks back, I think it was about 3 or 4 weeks ago, and I was kind of pushing Louis. I know you don't understand that if you're a wife, but I was, come on, what are we going to do with the 18th? Let's figure out who's going to be speaking. And so I said to him, who are you really feeling like God's leading us to for this night? And he said, well, it's really interesting. We were standing, just so you have a visual picture of this. He was standing in his closet. I think he was getting ready to leave, maybe to go out of town. And so he was packing and getting ready. And I was standing outside of his closet right at the door. Now, his closet, just so you can have a little bit of a descriptor of what that looks like, his closet would be perfectly aligned clothes on hangers that match. Okay? Y'all getting the picture? The shirts are hung in color coordinating fashion. So as you know, the majority of Louis' wardrobe is black. So that section is especially large. But then, you know, there's the white and they're hung together, and then the gray, because gray kind of leads into black. And then you have the black. And then the jeans are all hung color coordinated to, you know, as well. Jeans, get it? No, they're just jeans. Okay, and then there's other kinds of pants and things like that. So I'm standing outside of his closet. It's really the only place in our life that's the most peaceful, honestly, is his closet, because it just feels like everything is as it should be. But I was standing outside of it. He was standing in it. I'm telling you way too much information. But anyway, so here's the point. He said, I think I know what's supposed to happen on the 18th. And I said, kind of in a little bit of a great, finally, way, well, let's hear it. And he said, it's you. Well, we'd already been through this once, and I had said no. So it was an interesting moment. And what was interesting about it is about 3 weeks before, God had said something really specifically to me. And you know those moments where you look back and you think, I don't know what the purpose in that was, but I heard it. I know that you said that to me. And what was even more interesting than that is that when we were talking about generosity, do you guys remember back in the spring when we had several people talking about being a generous church? Do you guys remember that? This is the participation part, okay? Do y'all remember that? Okay. God was really stirring a lot of stuff in me right then. And what the kind of things that he was stirring in me were about generosity. And he was teaching me that generosity isn't just about your finances, that generosity is about your life. And so 3 weeks ago, God said to me in a very specific way, hey, you know what? I've been really generous to you in your life experiences, and I'd like for you to be really generous with me in sharing them. And so I had all that sort of rolling around inside of me, and Louis said, guess what? I think it's you. And this time, my response shocked me because I said, okay. At which point, he almost fell over. Do you realize he hasn't heard those words pretty much ever? So he was like, did you just say okay? I said, yeah, I said okay. And he said, like you're going to share. Like you must have misunderstood me. I said, no, I understood. I really did understand, and I am going to share. And so that's why I'm here tonight. Can you just understand that this is like a God thing? This isn't like a Shelley thing. I have no aspirations to be your pastor. I love y'all. I really do. But we have a one speaker per family rule in our family. I know that that probably doesn't apply to your family, that you could both speak, but in our family, there's one speaker per family, and that's Louis, and that is plenty. And so I'm a support to him. I love the role that I play in our life. I have all kinds of gifts that are different than his, and I'm happy, and I embrace those fully, but I don't need to be up here. And so if you don't see me a lot, don't wonder if I'm here. I'm right there, but I'm not probably going to be up here a lot. So tonight is an exception to that. Tonight we're going to talk about, that was a really long introduction, but anyway, I'm here. Okay. Y'all see how it's going to go? All right. Yeah. If all the people that are praying for me are any indication, this should be an amazing night. So just so you know, there's a lot of people in here praying for me right now. The title of the talk tonight is, are y'all ready? The House That Faith Built. That's the title of the talk tonight. And so that phrase contains two different words in it that I think are really interesting for us to focus on tonight. The house that faith built. The first word is the house. And we talk a lot about the house here, don't we? We talk about church being the house of God. You'll hear Chris and Louis say all the time, welcome to the house. And I think it's really interesting because this is kind of what we're going to talk about tonight, is the house that faith built. And I think it's interesting, too, that the other word that seems to stand out in that sentence is faith. It's like there's a plan that God has, and he's going to accomplish that plan with or without us, right? He's building his church in the kingdom. That's what he's doing. He said the gates of hell won't even prevail against it. Nothing can come against what God's planning to do. However, he invites us into that process with him, and the way that we enter that process with him is by faith. And so we're going to talk a little bit about faith, and we'll talk about that in a second. But first, let's just talk about the house of God a little bit. It's interesting that we would choose house as a name for sort of our gathering at Passion City Church. And I think the reason for that is a couple fold. One, we really feel like that God is putting together a family of people. We believe specifically that God draws people to this community of faith. I don't know how he does it. I can't really explain to you why you guys feel like you're more connected here than you would be somewhere else, or why you might have been happily serving somewhere else and God moved you to this place. But he's assembling a group of people for this community and in this place that he can call his family. And that's really an interesting process. It's really different than joining something. Like you go to a club and you join, like, hey, I'm a member at the Atlanta Athletic Club. That's where I go. And it's not that. It's that you're a family member. You're a part of something that's much bigger than yourself, but you're a member as a family member and not as a member. Does that make sense to you guys? And so that's why we call it a house, because we really feel like that the members, all of us that come and are a part of this, are a part of a greater family. You know, it's interesting in the Gospel of Matthew. I was just looking through the Gospels, and interestingly enough, hearing God talk about himself. And when Jesus talks about God, he talks about him in this way. He says he's a father. That's what he calls him. So it makes sense if we're his family that he's our father, doesn't it? It says in Matthew, I want you guys to look up a couple of these verses with me. If you have your Bible, you can turn to them really fast. In Matthew 5:16, it says, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they can see your good works and they may glorify your Father who is in heaven. In Matthew 6:6, who's there? Y'all just got to 5:16, right? Okay, now we're at 6:6. But when you pray, go into your room, shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who is in secret will reward you. Matthew 6:9. I'm reading mine off the piece of paper, by the way, because I can't really read my Bible very well. So I have my Bible. It's right here, but I'm reading it off this right here. Okay. Matthew 6:9. Some of you old people understand that. Other ones don't. You don't get it at all. Matthew 6:9 says, pray like this. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Matthew 6:26 says, look at the birds of the air. They neither reap nor sow or gather into their barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than them? And then in Matthew 12:50, who's still with me in Matthew? Awesome. It says, for whoever does the will of my Father who is in heaven is my brother, my sister, my mother. So he's already saying we're his family. He's already describing himself as a father, and he's describing us as his kids, which I think is really awesome. So when we talk about the house of God, we want to be family members. We want to be people that participate as a family. You know, if there's somebody of your family that's out of town, for instance, in my family right now, it's Louie, that there's just this big gapping hole. There's this weirdness. It's like the family is incomplete because somebody is gone from it. And that's the way we want to be here. We want to be people that show up. And when we do, there's an expectation that something amazing is going to happen in us because we're family. And when we're not here, we're going to be terribly missed because there's something in our lives that isn't complete without that family member with us. So that's kind of what we're trying to create at Passion City Church. And hopefully that makes sense to you guys. We want to be known at Passion City for a lot of things, and I'm going to talk about what several of those things are. The first thing that comes to my mind is that we want to be known for people who follow Jesus. Who would say that that's true of us? We want to be followers of Jesus. Yeah, I love the participation. Thank you. That guy was really reluctant, but he finally did. We want to be followers of Jesus. We want to be the kind of people who are known to be Jesus lovers. Like when people go away from our church, my very favorite thing, if you follow on Twitter or Facebook, is that people, when they go away from our church, they end up talking about Jesus. They say, that's one of the most curious things about Passion City to me, is that seems to me everything is about Jesus. And I think it's the highest compliment of all compliments that we could receive about our church family, and is that we are followers of Jesus, and that people can see that marked on our lives, and that they're drawn to him because of their experience in our church. We also want to have a love for the word. You know, we talk about the word a lot. Chris read the word tonight. We read the word together. We put words up on the screen that come from the word. We want to be about the word of God. Louis did a whole series called The Word, which is basically just telling us about how Jesus in the word are one thing and how that is alive in us. And it's a lifeline to us. It's the thing that really marks us is the word of God. And this is true of a lot of churches, but definitely want it to be true of us. We also want to be a church of excellence. Has anybody noticed that we're trying to do things well here? That's a marked, noticeable, pointed thing for us. We don't want to just do it casually. We don't feel like God created the world casually. He didn't say, you know what, let it be. And then he's kind of like, that's okay. It's average, but it's all right. He made everything amazingly well. And when you look around at the wonder of the world, you think, wow, who in the world, God, thought of that? And so when we do things that we do here, we don't want to do them passively. We don't want to do them with a heart that's just like, well, that's good enough. We want to do them as though we really, really want them to be excellent. And we want people to notice the difference. When our parking team greets you in the parking lot, we want you to feel the difference. There's a parking team member right there. They're taking further membership. So if you feel so called. We want people to notice the difference. Man, that was the warmest greeting I ever received. When you come into Bloom or Passion Kids, we don't want people to think, wow, these rooms look okay. They're all right. We want them to go, that's the most amazing room I've seen. We want them to come to Passion Kids and see the tents and see the gathering of students, kids down there worshiping the Lord and say, man, there's something unusual about this place. It seems to have been so excellently done. And so that's what we want to be about. Servanthood comes to mind. We talk about door holders a lot here. We got that phrase out of the Psalms where it says, for a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. We want to be door holders. We want to be more than just members, like I talked about earlier. We want to be servants. We actually want to change the neighborhood by the way that we approach our lives in this place. And we don't want it to be about us gathering in this room and letting stuff happen in us and being excited about it. We want to be about that baptism that happened last week, where people are in this room and they are confessing that Jesus is their Lord and that he has done a radical transformation in their lives because of what they have seen in him, and that they have put every bit of their faith and trust in him, and then that's what's brought them to life. And so wasn't that the most powerful thing you guys have ever seen last week, to hear those 35 people's stories and just to see what God's doing in their life? We want to be about that. We want to be door holders for people so that you and I, who have been inside the kingdom of God, can be approachable from people who are outside the kingdom, that they can see people who have been inside with the Lord and have come out to greet them and say, welcome, this is what God has for you. We also want to be generous people, and I talked about that earlier. Today, God is challenging me a lot about generosity, and I told y'all that earlier, just about my life and about giving away my experience, but he's also challenging me financially. It's amazing. I grew up what I considered to be a pretty generous home. My dad and mom both had good incomes, and we always gave to the church and really believed in it, and they did an amazing job modeling for me what it meant to be generous. But then I married Louis, and I didn't really realize what generous was until I married Louis, I don't think. He literally would give everything we have away if it was an option. I'm sort of the sensible one who says, hang on just one second, I think we might need that. But I've learned so much. You know how you're married forever and you kind of start looking alike? Well, we're starting to kind of be alike. I'm learning so much about generosity and what it means just to give yourself away. And he's taught me so much in that. I'll tell you an interesting story, because tomorrow marks the one-year anniversary death of Louis's mom, Martha Jean, and we loved her so much. We miss her so much. It's hard to believe it's been a year, but I'll tell you a funny story about her. Louis comes by the generosity gene naturally. In her earlier part of her life, you know, God provided for her in great ways, and it was amazing to watch him work. And she lost her husband 15 years before she died. And you know how God has that special place in his heart for widows? Well, he loved her, I'm convinced, most. He adored her. And he gave to her the stuff that she needed. But as she got older in years, her finances sort of kind of got out of whack a little bit. And so eventually Louis involved himself in the process of helping her figure out how to make it work. And what we came to find out is that she didn't really have a lot to lean back on. And so in moments of need where she would need things, either us or Gina or some of our family members would step in and try to provide for her what she needed. And it was an interesting process to find out that before we could actually get the money into her account and hope that she was paying whatever bill was outstanding, that she had actually already taken the money and given it to missionaries in Africa somewhere. Mm-hmm. And they were well provided for. They were definitely getting all they needed. She, however, wasn't really sure that she had all she needed. And so that's generosity. Sometimes it doesn't make sense. Sometimes it's not completely, you know, for us, it was like, okay, we're going to have to pay your bills first, and then we can give to the other people. But it doesn't always make sense in the kingdom of God, does it? That you would give away something that you might even need in the long run. You might think that you, at some point in your life, would need to fall back on that. But God says he's a provider and that he's going to give us what we need. And if he cares even for the birds of the air, don't you think he's going to take care of you? And so God's taught me so much about that. And I want to be the kind of person who is generous with my life. And I want us to be the kind of church that's generous with ours. A couple other things, and I'm getting to the point of what we want to talk about tonight as well. Kingdom builders. We want to be about the kingdom of God. Some of my friends are here tonight, and they are from other churches in the city, and we love each other and are friends for life, and we are kingdom builders together. We are about making a difference in the world for Christ in this city, and we are going to be friends forever because of that, and that's the kind of people that we want to be. We want to be so for people. We really want people to be drawn to our community who are drawn here, but we want to completely serve the other communities as well. So we want to be more about the kingdom than we are about our church. I think that makes sense to all you guys. I know it does to me. We want to be about honor and love. We want to care about each other in a way that Christ cares about us. And then lastly, I think the thing that we want to be known for maybe the most is a church of faith. And like I said earlier, the talk is titled The House That Faith Built. And I would love for us just to talk for a second about faith. It says in the Bible that faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things that hasn't yet been seen. So let me say it one more time. It's the substance of things that we hope for, but it's the evidence of things that we have not yet seen. So faith is basically standing between what God is going to do in his life and in our life and in his world, and between what we're going to do with our life and in our world. And it's deciding that we believe that God is big enough to do what he wants to do in and through us. It's basically choosing to believe God. It's basically seeing that God has a plan and then saying to him, you know what? I choose to step into that plan that you have for me. It says in Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it's absolutely impossible to please God. For everyone who would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he's a rewarder of those who seek him. So not only faith is necessary for our lives and it's necessary to please God, but it's really essential for us. It's the thing that connects us to what God's doing. It's a firm belief in something which there is no proof for, and yet you completely trust that it is. So it's just basically you saying, God, I see that you're doing something. I can't see really clearly exactly what that is, but I choose to believe that you know what that is, and I'm gonna bank on that. I wanna tell you a little bit about our story tonight. I don't know, I think a lot of you guys probably know this story, but some of you may not. And so it's kind of a story of faith, so I thought it might be encouraging to somebody, and it's one of those things where I feel like God is saying, take your current experiences and make them accessible to people. So that's what I'm gonna try to do tonight. When when I married Louie, I'll start at the beginning. When I met Louie, I was 18. I had no business meeting Louie, but that's what happened. I didn't. I was 18. I was clueless. I had just finished my freshman year at Baylor University. You guys ever heard of Baylor? There's a bear. Thank you. It's in Texas. It's a great school. It's a Baptist school. I think they call themselves the largest Baptist school in the world. So if that means something to y'all, then God bless you. That's where I went. It was a great community of people. It was really an awesome place. I grew up in Texas, so for me, it wasn't that big of a stretch to go to school there. It was a great place. And so I went to school there, and I'd finished my freshman year, and I passed all my classes, which was a small miracle. And I was home for the summer, and I went to my church for the summer, and I showed up. And it just so happens, and I'll just tell you guys this, because Louie would tell you if he were standing here, and he makes a big deal out of it, and it's not a big deal. But I was dating someone else at the time, and he was sitting next to me in church, and Louie walked across the, you know, center aisle thing, you know, the thing that kind of goes around the church. Well, he walked across that, and I said to my friend who was on the other side, who is that? Because I pretty much knew everyone there, so I was like, who is that? I don't recognize that person. She said, oh, I think that's the summer college intern. I was like, awesome. This is going to be a good summer. So he'll tell you I pretty much stalked him from there, but I didn't. I totally didn't. I did, however, plan to meet him that night, and it just worked out that way. It was weird. It was a little bit awkward for him, but it was great for me. We were talking, and he said at one point to me, and he thought he was being so profound, this was awesome. He said, what's it like to go to Baylor? And I was like, well, I don't know. I've never been anywhere else. He said, he was like, why is she such a smart aleck? And he loved me from then on, pretty much. So it was one of those moments where I met him, and it was just like, I don't want to say like, oh, you know, a beam from heaven, but it was pretty clear, like, there's something here. I saw him, like, I mean, who do you see? And you go, yeah, I'm going to meet them. I mean, it was just weird. So, but I was very interested in him, and I was like, okay, this is going to be cool. The problem is that he was the summer college intern. Did I mention that part earlier? And I was a summer college student. So, unfortunately, the guy who had interned the summer before, not us, didn't have anything to do with us, he was about 30-something, and he had dated a lot of high school girls in the church. So the pastor had made it really clear, when you come to the church as a college intern, you will not date anyone in the church. So there I am in the church. So I thought about leaving the church, which was my first... I'm just kidding. I didn't leave the church. I stayed. No, fortunately, I knew the pastor really well, and he knew me really well, and he had a level of trust for us. So Louis did have to go to his office, though, and talk to him about it, which is sort of a funny story. He basically said he was sitting in a gathering of staff, and interns were in there, and the pastor made this big declaration about not dating anyone in the church, and he said, "You absolutely cannot date anyone in the church. We've had some problems before. This is just the way this is going to be." And so Louis said, I leaned over to my friend and said, "I'm sure I'll be down there in 2 weeks talking to him about somebody I've met," because Louis had no interest in meeting anyone. And 2 weeks later, he was in the pastor's office telling him about meeting me. So it worked out. Anyway, I met him. We dated for 3 years. The third year, I was a senior at Baylor. Some friends and I basically gathered together, and we believed that God was saying to do something radical. And I wasn't a real radical kind of student. I was a business student, you know, the kind that goes to accounting. That was me. So when God said, you know, I have a plan of something I really want you guys to do, and I'm pulling, I think there were six of us together, who I want you to be the catalyst for that, I was stretched. I was like, I don't really know how to go about this. I don't know what to do about this. But I prayed a lot about it, and I felt like God said for certain that this was something we were supposed to do. And so we launched a Bible study called Choice Ministries. Now, Choice Ministries still exists. It's actually the parent organization over everything that we do today. And the ministry was formed in like 1985. So this is how old I am, which I'll just figure that out. Don't add. And don't add. Don't add, really. But it started way back then. And just think about where we are today and all the things that God has done in between. But you know, the interesting part about it was we invited all of our friends. I think we got 40 people there the first night. And it was everyone I could basically leverage to say, come to this. And they were like, what is it? And I'm like, I don't know exactly, but I think you should come. And they're like, well, like, what's the nature of it, just generally speaking? And I would say, I think it's Bible study. That's kind of generally what we're trying to do. So they were like, oh, okay, I'll give it a shot. We sang choruses that we had off of, get ready, a copier. Like, we ran sheets and we passed them out, and then we all sang off of it. It might have been a mimeograph machine, but I can't say for sure. Those were around when I was a kid. So that's how simple it was. There was nothing extraordinary about it. There was nothing compelling about it, except that we dove into the Word of God, and it changed our lives. And my senior year was one of the most significant years to date in my life, because I felt like God was obeying God. I was taking a step of obedience to Him. I couldn't see the outcome. I didn't know how it was going to work out. I didn't know if my friends would like it. I didn't know if they'd come back. I didn't know if there was anything about it that they would be drawn to. I just knew God said, go for it. And so we went for it. And Louis had come to be a student at the time. He was doing another master's program. And if you talk to him, you'll hear about many masters and other things that he's pursued in his life. But this was just one of them. And so he was a person at Baylor at the time, a student, and he was leading this for us. And so you know what? That's what started the whole thing. And I just look back on it today and I think, you know, if I hadn't taken that one step of obedience to him, if I hadn't said yes to him, if Louis hadn't said yes to him, if those six students hadn't said yes to him, do you think we'd be sitting in this room today? Yeah, I don't think so. Because that's not the way God works in our lives. He doesn't take us all the way from where we are to where we're going to end up. He takes us one step at a time. And he leads us to the next conclusion. And he says, you know what? This is the step of faith that I want you guys to take. And when you take this step of faith, I'll come through. And then when you take the next one, I'll come through. And that's the way it's been in our life the whole entire time. I think it's radical, but I think it's really about simple obedience. It really is just about saying yes. And tonight's even a perfect sign of that, of me just saying okay to God. I want to talk just for a second just about the journey of faith about Passion City, because I think to you guys who are here specifically that will mean a lot to you. And I know it's one more story, but I also feel like it's a chance for you guys to sort of see behind the scenes of how we got to this point. Once we moved to Atlanta in 1995, we moved and God concluded our ministry at Baylor. For 10 years, we did a Bible study there. By the end of the 10th year, we had about a tenth of the college campus coming to this Bible study. There were about 1,200 or 1,500 students every Monday night that were coming to this. And God was doing an incredible work. But we had been praying for God to let us move to Atlanta. Louis's dad had become very, very sick in our second year of marriage. He had viral encephalitis. And you hear about people having that, but you've really never, ever known anyone that's had it. And he was a very rare case. Most people who have it at his age don't survive it. He had multiple brain surgeries. He had left side paralysis. He was in an invalid state for the rest of his life. He lived 7 years. And so during that 7 year period, Louis's mom was taking care of his dad, and we prayed a lot that God would let us come. Why don't you let us come and help? We could help. You know, we don't really have a real life. We could just come and do that. And God kept saying, stay. You stay and I'll take care of them. But then on the 7th year, it was interesting. I was in Bible study fellowship. How many of you guys have heard of Bible study fellowship? Great. It's a great Bible study. And we were studying the life of Moses. And God said through Moses' story to me that it's time for you to go. And so I said to Louis, you know what? We're studying Moses at BSF, and I think God's saying to us, it's time for us to go. And Louis said, oh my goodness, I don't know. I haven't heard that. But he went away. He had a sabbatical that year, and he went away. And when he came back, he said, it's time for us to go. And God used that in our lives to move us on. So we transitioned our ministry. This is kind of getting to be a long story. We transitioned our ministry, and we moved to Atlanta. The problem was, the month before we moved to Atlanta, Louis's father died. It was very unexpected. He actually died of a heart attack, which wasn't in any way related to his illness. It was God's perfect timing. The problem was, is that we had transitioned our ministry in Waco to other people, and you can't just say, we'd like it back, or we made a mistake. You know, we didn't hear God clearly. And so we came. We didn't know really why exactly. Louis was starting to teach a Bible study here called 722 at the time. And it was an amazing move of God. In the long run, it was something such a gift to us. But really, that's sort of what we knew in life, that maybe he'll teach that. At the time, it wasn't really going full time. It was just every kind of like 6 weeks of a study. And then we had the summer off or whatever. So we didn't even know if that was a sure thing. But we decided to go ahead and come. And that simple step of obedience, about 3 months later, Louis was flying on an airplane one day. And once he finally got up the courage to tell me about what he experienced, it was a little hard to believe. But he was flying on an airplane and he was looking through, you know, that Delta magazine, whatever that thing's called. I know they would be just Sky Miles magazine. Not Sky Mall. No, that's the shopping thing. What's it called? Sky Magazine. Of course, Sky Magazine. Yes. Yeah. Sorry. I was going to find that answer no matter what. Sky Magazine. So he's reading Sky Magazine, and in the back there was an ad for, I think they were building the Daytona Convention Center. Interestingly enough, the Daytona Convention Center is where we were at camp this summer with our students. But they were building it, and there was a picture of it, you know, like the artist rendering thing that's really beautiful, and it doesn't ever turn out to look exactly like that, but it's kind of close. He was looking at that, and he said immediately he was sort of transported to this other place, and he had a vision. And what he saw in the vision is he saw thousands of college students on their faces before God. So he came home, and it took him about 2 months, I think, to get courage to tell me that that's what he saw. Not because I wouldn't be excited, but just because I'd be like, what else did you see? You know, is there more? So he finally told me, he said, you know what? I had this vision, and I really saw all these thousands of college students gathered on their faces before God. And I know that it was from him, but I can't really figure out what it means. In long term, we know that it meant passion. That's what he was giving us the vision for. Was not to be on one campus located with a group of students, seeing them be discipled and breathed into, but to really take on the campuses of the whole country and to say to them, there's a possibility to live for something that's much greater than yourself, and that that's an absolute honor for us to be able to do that in your lives, to be able to invite you into God and let him speak over your life and then send you back out to your campuses to live for something that's amazing. So that's the way God kind of formed in that moment. And then here we are all this time later. You know, that was in 1997. We started the first conference. We started with 2,000 students. It was a miracle, literally, that they came. We didn't know really where they came from, but they came. And that turned into 5,000. That turned into 11,000. That turned into 40,000 people on a hillside at one day 2,000. That was the vision. We saw God do what he said he was going to do. But we didn't know how any of that was going to work. But it didn't matter that we didn't understand. We just needed to take the step of faith. So I think that's what God's calling us to tonight. It says in 1 Thessalonians 5:24, he who calls you is faithful, surely he's gonna do it. He's the one who thought it up. He's the one who's gonna pull it off. It's really only our role in life to believe that it's possible that he would do that. So I told you I was gonna tell you the story of Passion City, and I'll tell you this because it kind of mocks me and I think that's pretty funny. Louis started talking a few years ago about starting a church. And when he talked about it, I literally said, I think you've gone crazy. I really think there's something wrong with you, because we had this incredibly full plate. We had Passion Conferences going full steam ahead. We had Six Steps Records, which kind of fell out of the Passion Conferences. And you guys know this, but all these guys are on our label and we're managing the making of their records and their tours and all those kinds of things. And so we had a really incredibly full plate. And Louis said to me one day, he said, I think God's saying to me that we should start or plant a church. And I really couldn't believe it. So for about the first 2 years, I wouldn't let him talk about it. This is the real spiritual side of me, just so you know. I basically said, I remember specifically one day we were, there's a school that's near our house and it has a walking track around it. And we used to go and exercise a lot there. And we were walking around that walking track and Louis was kind of giving the pitch again, you know, like, this is what I really feel like God's saying. And this is what I finally turned to him and said with just the most sincere heart, if you bring it up again, we're really not gonna ever talk about this again. Like, seriously, I can't see my way clear of what God has in front of us. There's no way I can see that God would say that to us. And so I need you to not bring it up. So he backed away. And as most guys would, he said, all right, we won't talk about it for a while and we'll just let God deal with you on that. Well, as you can tell, we're all sitting in here, right? So here's sort of the way that all went down. For about a year, literally, it wasn't really spoken of in our house. We just didn't talk about it because it was such a place of contention for me of, A, God, how much faith are you gonna ask me to have? You know, really, isn't there a point at which it's enough? Like, haven't you seen us believe you for great things and you've done those great things? Isn't that enough for us? And then we went to this conference on the other side of the world. Rarely do Louis and I go to conferences together where we sit on the front row together, but this is one of those conferences that you literally sit right there where these people are sitting for a week, 1 week. So first session, I'm like, I cannot believe I'm on the front row. This is just not good for me at all. I'm a back row kind of person. So all y'all back there, hey, yeah, me too. I was so uncomfortable. I felt like literally the person speaking was sort of standing on top of me and I was sort of like, you feel? Yeah. I was so intimidated by that. I didn't really enjoy it at all and I was frustrated by it. Second session, same thing. Third session, do we get a new seat? No, we're right there. Fourth session, it was about the sixth session, I think. There was a guy that came to speak, and he's a very, very large man. If I said his name, you would know it. Okay, I'll tell you. It's T.D. Jakes. The guy, I'm not exaggerating, is about this big. He's huge. So he's sitting there talking to us, and I feel like literally he's going to spit on me. I mean, we're close. And he's sharing. He's talking about faith. Now, I've pretty much closed off all the doors and windows so that there's nothing that's going to come through it that I don't approve. You know, I'm kind of ready for God, like, okay, I'm ready. And he starts talking about faith, and he talks about how it's taking steps that we can't see, and he talks about how we are to step into obedience with God, and how it's a calling on our life, not just to see the things of God, but to participate in them. And I'm like, this is crazy. Listen, you guys, at the end of the session, he called pastors' wives to the front. Pastors' wives. And then he said, some of you aren't yet pastors' wives, but you're gonna be. I was so shocked. I was like, Lord? I didn't know you were so big. I mean, I was literally, I was so moved. I was just shocked. I was like, God, you are so specific in nature. You literally called this guy to call me out, to say to me, you need to step up. And so in brokenness and tears, Louis standing next to me wondering, I really seriously think he was thinking, don't look over there. You know, like that. That thing where you kind of want to see what they're doing, but you really don't because you're hoping God's doing something, but you really don't know if he is or not. I mean, he literally was like, you know, don't look over there. And I just stepped up. I mean, I didn't have to step far, mind you. I was him. And I'm standing right in front of T.D. Jakes, who is huge, and I'm saying yes to God. And I didn't know anything about what that meant, but I knew that God had said, say yes to me. And I knew specifically he'd probably sent T.D. Jakes all the way from America to that place to speak to me that day. And I haven't really heard much of T.D. Jakes since, but I know that God used him in that moment to speak to me, and it changed our lives forever. It changed all of yours too. So faith isn't just about what you think God's doing in your life. It's about the effect that he's going to have on everyone else's because of your obedience. And today, we're standing in here today because of what God said to do. He said, come and follow me, and I'll do the rest. I'm the one who you're following, and I am totally able. So tonight, I just feel like, and we're going to close with this, I really feel like that a lot of us are at that point of faith. We're at that very season in our lives where we can see, but we can't see really clearly, but we know God's calling us to something very specific, and we want to be obedient to him tonight. Some of you guys just want a place to belong, and you have seen a family of people, and you want to be a part of this place, and I would say, come on. If you want to be a part of this family of believers here, please come. Don't stand and sit in an aisle or in a seat. Well, you might be sitting in an aisle too. Don't sit in either an aisle or a seat. But come and join the family. Be a part. Be missed when you're not here. Be a part of what God's doing here. But for a lot of you guys, it's simply a step of obedience and faith tonight. And so I want us to stand and pray together. And then I'm going to ask you to do something that's kind of crazy. But I think you'll respond to that. Would you stand with me? God, thank you for your word tonight. Thank you that it's clear. I have no idea what came out of my mouth, but I know your Holy Spirit is faithful and he's going to do what he intended with it. I pray that you would make us responsive in this moment. I pray that you would talk to our hearts specifically about what you have for us and make us respond to you. In Jesus' name, amen.